Talking Trees this Saturday morning with John Eisenhower, Steve Price, Kevin Salamandra. We've got a whole variety of expertise and information. If you'd like to talk trees, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And we're going to go back to the conversation we were having as we went into the news break about watering. There's a couple follow-up points y'all wanted to make sure we got to the listening audience.
Yeah, we find it's very important. As you do water, you realize the tree's going to grow. You got the scion, the top part, the foliage, the branches that do grow out. But also, you want the roots to grow and spread out as well to help support that root, that tree structure. And if you just continue to water where the original root ball is and don't spread the water beyond that point, what can happen during the monsoon season is that we get those high winds, you know, 30 to 60 mile an hour winds, and it can push that tree over very easily. And we'd hate to see that happen once you install a tree and have to replace it again.
Yeah, if you have the water that's dripping or being applied just outside the root ball, then that saturation pattern will encourage that root development to get out into that native soil. It's important that those new trees you've put in develop roots that can get out of the original plant mix, you know, within the root ball itself of the planted plant and get out into that native soil as quickly as possible.
Yeah, so if you just joined us or just popped in, the quite original question was, how much should I water my citrus tree, you know, this time of year? And normally it was originally set up to water every day. Like we said originally, this is such a loaded and dynamic question. We get it every month pretty much, and so that's why we're following up here more on it. Just think about it, too, that the age of the tree, you know, how mature is the tree? When was it planted? There's so many variables. If it's a brand new tree, it may need water every day for the first several weeks in the summer. And then as it matures each year, you want to wean that off. You want to start increasing the water over time. So when someone calls and just says, how much, you know, should I water my citrus tree? Again, there's so many variables, the soil profile, how fast is it draining? So really kind of we go back to common sense. Like we were saying, you want to make sure you give it a good soak. Like John said, let the soil, whatever size it is, let it dry out. The younger the tree, you don't want it to dry out too much. The more mature tree, it can take more drying out in between waterings. Give it a good soak. The caller wanted to know how deep. You know, that's going to be anywhere from 12 inches where the feeder roots are down to 36 inches. And another key thing, especially with citrus trees, is whether you set it up for once a week or twice a week or however mature the tree is, occasionally you want to increase the water by about 30%, about once a month at least, to flush that water. It gets used to having water to a certain depth, and then occasionally you want to force it down even deeper into the soil and wash out the salts or any other chemical impurities that are building up in the root zone.
And the one other point that we should mention is that the daily watering sometimes can set up conditions for fungal pathogens to become active because the soil profile never dries out, and that's something you really want to avoid. We've had a lot of trees that have died just due to overwatering.
Yes.
The root metabolism requires oxygen as well as water, so you don't want to be filling those soil pores with water constantly and not allowing, creating an anaerobic, condition in the soil. So be sure that you're letting that soil profile, once you've determined the depth that you need, like Steve said, might be 12 inches for a smaller plant, might be 24 for a medium-sized tree, and maybe 36 inches deep for your mature trees. Once you've made sure you're getting the water to the bottom of that root zone at whatever depth that is, then let that soil profile dry out before you apply water again. And that might be a week, might be 10 days. If you've done a really deep soaking, I've even recommended with some trees to put a soaker hose out and leave it on overnight for, 8 or 10 hours. And then you might not have to put water down for 2 months. So you can, again, we mentioned last month to watch your trees and shrubs in the late afternoon. That's a telltale sign. When you start to see some leaf curl and some wilting in the late afternoon and you've gone 7 days, well, then set your timer on your sprinkler timer at 5 days or 6 days, because you'll know that at that 7 day mark in that 100 degree temperatures, you're getting some leaf wilt in the afternoon. So do your watering, watch your plants every day and see. You'd be surprised. Sometimes you go 2 weeks before you see any sign of leaf wilting. that's a good sign that the tree is doing fine with the water. We have a lot of clay in our soils here in the valley, and sometimes they hold more water than we know. Even though the surface temperature, the surface soil is dry, it just is 6 inches down. If you would dig down, you'll see that that clay soil is holding the water beautifully.
Do you guys know, does AMWA still have that watering guideline?
Yes. And that's the final thing we always
great
mention.
Guideline to follow as well, depending on the season, temperatures, and all stuff.
I think people can look up watering by the numbers. Watering by the numbers.
Yeah, watering by the numbers.
That, yeah.
If you have, want a kind of a step-by-step process, that's a really great guide. It's a free publication offered by the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association, amwa.org. AMWUA.org.
I was looking on our website. There's at least like 9 pages that we have a link to that.
Oh, good.
On different articles.
Yeah, it's a popular brochure and one that's been helpful for a lot of people.
Let's cover pruning real quick before we get to Sam, who's called in and wants to talk trees with us.
Oh, good. Yeah, just this is the time of year to be pruning your trees in anticipation of the monsoon winds that are coming in July and August. And there's a proper way to do it. There's a really great series of articles written by Dr. Ed Gilman out of the University of Florida. He pioneered a lot of studies in what kind of pruning cuts give you the most bang for your buck. If you're going to be pruning your trees to get them ready for some high winds, there are certain types of pruning cuts you can make. And Dr. Ed Gilman, because of all the hurricane damage that's done to trees in that southeastern United States, was the right guy to do this studies. And he determined that rather than thinning out the interior foliage, which we often can do, most of us do that, we just kind of, in theory, we think, okay, we're going to strip out the interior foliage so we can let the wind blow through. And that does decrease the drag on the tree to the extent that the wind does blow through. But what often happens is that the wind collects on the outer third of the canopy, and those big lion tails of heavy foliage out on the ends of those branches collect the wind, and those can often break and pull the tree over. So Dr. Ed Gilman's conclusion was that to make some reduction cuts in the outer third of the canopy to reduce the overall length and the weight on those overextended branches is actually a more effective way of reducing the drag on the tree. And then you don't have the problems associated with stripping out the interior of the tree, which is like sunburn and insect damage that can follow. So a little bit of thinning on the inside is certainly appropriate, but don't neglect the outer third of the canopy. That's sort of the bottom line. And you'll find a good quality tree service who knows how to do good reduction pruning, and it will serve you well. We see so many trees that are lion-tailed year after year after year. All the trimmers are doing is stripping out the interior foliage. And anyone can do that. You don't need a trained person just to go in and strip out the foliage. But what happens is over time, the tree continues to get longer and taller and leggier, and the branches still have that big accumulation of heavy foliage out on the ends. And good pruning requires skill to be able to, and the time to go out to that outer third of the canopy where it's more difficult to climb and make those reduction cuts out there.
Yeah, we recommend to prune 80% of your cuts are done on the outer 20 to 30% of the branchings of the branches of the tree, and keep the interior branches there to help support the tree as we get these high winds, or just to run the structure of the tree, which I think it's great, Dean.
It's great. And also, as you're making those reduction cuts in the outer third, if you have a supporting cast of secondary growth on the interior that you haven't been trimming out, that can grow out and become the new canopy. So if you've stripped out the entire inside of the tree, there's not a supporting cast of secondary growth to replace the outer growth that you're reducing. So leaving that nice interior foliage there is critical for so many reasons.
I'll tell you, for the desert trees, what drives me nuts is that we grow these really beautiful, nice multi-trunk trees with that interior branching structure because it's really artistic. And then we see these trees out on job sites, and all of a sudden, these trees have changed because they're removing all those branches, and I'm just pulling my hair out going, oh my goodness. Yeah. I'd like to get out of my car every time and stop the guy from pruning and say, why are you doing that? But it's kind of hard to do, you know.
Yeah, that's a thing. As arborists, one of the biggest things we're constantly teaching and preaching is that all sprouts aren't all bad. You know, people want that aesthetic. They want to have that architectural, see all the branching. But we really, really try to educate people that those sprouts are food factories. Every leaf that we get on the tree is a food factory. Those sprouts come out because the tree is saying, hey, I need nutrients, I need food. And not just for the branching, but for the roots. So we teach and train our crews to leave some sprouts in as long as the client is okay with it. We educate them. And one more thing I want to point out, because we get asked a lot, sprouts are up in the upper area of the tree, and suckers, what a lot of people don't know the difference, suckers are in the basal area of the tree. And of course, those can come off and no problem. But usually we try to say, pick a height in the tree where you can leave, you're comfortable leaving some sprouts, little thinning, balance pruning, and weight reduction is key, and leave some sprouts, like we just all said, went through, to maintain a healthy tree, keep it more sustainable long-term.
That's great. Good stuff. With regard to protecting trees, anything else you can do to kind of protect your trees during the summer heat? You know, we've had a lot of, you know, of plants that are burning. We put one of our clients this last month put in several new trees. And there's always a risk, you know, when you put, you know, trees in this time of year. And he's built some nice little shade structures over the top, got some PVC pipe and some other little, metal that he used for a little carport, and he kind of built that structure. Then he draped some shade cloth over the top of it, and that's going to give those trees a little bit of a break from the heat. You know, we've got a, you know, we don't recommend using tree paint as a replacement for shade cloth. Shade cloth is really your best remedy for, you know, protecting those sensitive trees. Some of our smooth bark trees are very, very sensitive. Citrus has about a bark is only a 1/16 of an inch thick. You can scrape it right down to the cambium with your thumbnail. And so it's very vulnerable to sunburn. And the some people feel like they can just raise the canopy on their trees and have no consequences. And they're taking the... they'll say, well, I can just put some tree paint on it. They'll just go get some flat, you know, latex paint and paint it on, and hopefully that's going to protect them. But it won't. All that paint does is it has some reflective qualities. So, but the research has shown that it lowers the surface temperature of the bark just a degree or two, at best. So don't think that you can just limb up the bottom branches on your citrus trees and then paint the bark and they'll paint the trunk and it'll be protected. It's not like a sunblock. It actually does very little to protect them.